If you're like me, you probably hate those salesy LinkedIn messages that hit your inbox the moment you agree to connect. However, there is a right way to do social media outreach. You just need to commit to making it an ongoing part of your marketing strategy. As in the words of the famous Pantene shampoo ad, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. So yes, it can be a slow process, but it's all about building the relationship first, and the sale will follow. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Mohit KS, who has discovered social media outreach methods that really work. It's a juicy episode, and I know you're going to get a lot from it. Let's dive in. To the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer who's here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send it out into the scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. Because I know you have a message that needs to be heard, and I know you want to make a big impact on the world. By becoming more visible in the online space, you can attract and retain your ideal customers. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today, I'm joined by my guest, Mohit KS. Welcome, Mohit.
Thank you so much, Leanne. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So yeah, Mohit reached out to me. He's actually based in India, which for those who are aware, it's a crazy, scary situation right now. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today all about outreach on social media.
Great. Thank you so much.
So just to give everyone a little overview of who you are. So Mohit is the founder of One Heart, which aims to help coaches and CEOs get more clients and save time by customizing and organizing the process around their social media outreach. So usually One Heart members can generate up to 45 qualified leads based on building relationships on LinkedIn alone. So you can only imagine how many more leads could be sourced if you were to add other social media platforms to the mix. So it all sounds absolutely awesome. I'll leave the next bit because you sent me a bit more over, but I'll let you talk about that. So tell us more about the business and your journey to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. Awesome. So all this journey started pretty much the same time when this COVID stuff started, March 2020. That was the point where me and my sister, we were still like exploring things. We sort of like, you know, looking at the aspects on how we can help, you know, businesses get more clients and stuff. And then we actually came around a gentleman and he was like, Mohit, I have this new social media outreach thing going on. Would you be open to helping me out get clients? So I was like, okay, cool. Because I think that was the phase when we were pretty low. We had a pretty dark phase, to be honest, like financially and stuff like that. So I was like pretty much open to any work that was open then. I was like, okay, cool, let's do it. And then we started working together. That was the first time me actually even learning about social media outreach. And we started with Instagram 30 days down the line. And the coach and I, the guy for who I worked for, me, my sister and the guy, 30 days down the line, we made about $25,000 in like less than 30 days. I think it was like, what, 4 clients or something. And then it was like a huge success. I was like, I was shocked when he told me. He came back to me 30 days later. He was like, Mohit, we made $25,000 together just alone with your outreach effort. So awesome. And we're going to continue working. That was the moment when I was like, that I have never generated any sort of that amount for any of my clients. So it was obviously, it was a very proud moment for us. And we were like, okay, this is something that we can continue working on. Then we started exploring and learning more about Instagram, LinkedIn, and how it works, how to do outreach and stuff like that. And then after that, 3 months down the line, I think we had our first client that we got from our outreach that we started for ourselves. Obviously, it took us 3 months, but I believe those 3 months were pretty awesome 3 months because we learned so much about the platforms, their algorithms. And again, it's great when you learn so much about these. And since then, I think it's been like, 10 months now, and we have worked with over 25 clients, generated over $470,000 in revenue for them. Like about 9 or 10 very, very successful, you know, case studies and stories of clients who changed their life and stuff. So yeah, it's been an awesome journey. And I think my sister has been a great sort of like a role model for me in terms of how she has helped me in all the things and stuff. So yeah, we together certainly have come a long way, to be honest, and considering where we started our entrepreneurship journey back in late 2017. And we actually never took entrepreneurship for the sake of taking it, but for the sake that we could help out our parents financially, because we had the phase that we had to sell our house so we can just have our basic necessities fulfilled. So that was, I believe, was the lowest point in our life when we had to sell the house and stuff. We never wanted to, but we had to. And then we had to like sort of migrate to a different place and stuff. So it was hard. But I think, you know, 3 years down the line, of course, it certainly feels pretty good to be able to be here and serve our parents. That's the biggest thing. And yeah, to be able to serve the community too. So pretty grateful to God and obviously our parents and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that story. I love that. Yes. You've been able to then, yeah, support your parents and everything. You just turn your lives around just by finding this one little thing that works really well, the outreach. But like, so do you, like, did you do any like training on what to do, or you just experiment? How did you work out what works?
Yeah. So it was a bit of mix of both, to be honest. Like, we did training. We also did sort of like our own stuff. We came up with our own thing in terms, we never really like dig into what type of messages you need to send out or target audience and things. We just really wanted to test it out. And that's why I think it took us like 3 months to even get our first client from outreach, which is obviously slow. But I think those 3 months were pretty crucial for us, to be honest, as we learned so much from Instagram and LinkedIn and how it works. As soon as we got our first client, it was pretty awesome. And after that, we got 25 clients in less than 10 months. And then I think like we had a training. I remember a guy named Ravi Abuwala. I think his training was awesome. It was all about how you use LinkedIn and like, you know, you do lead gen and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm not the only one who's doing it. There are like tons of people doing that, and they're doing amazing in this industry. So yeah, he's obviously one of those experts in the LinkedIn outreach industry. So he was like the one. We took up the training. We learned so much, and we went on. We didn't use any of the stuff that we learned. We didn't copy paste any of his stuff, but we just wanted to explore our ways. Obviously, the strategies were the same. We wanted to explore our ways in terms of how we can go about it, and seemed to be like it worked pretty well for us. Obviously, it took 3 months, but yeah, it was still pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, those 3 months as well, you're just working out what your message is and what will land on the right people and who your target market is. So right. Yeah, you basically, yeah, build a business. I mean, sometimes it can right. take a lot longer than 3 months to get your first client. So that's pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So let's take a little step back. For those who don't know what we're talking about when we say outreach, can you just explain what that means and why is it so effective?
Awesome. Yeah. So let me actually explain this by saying that out for a lot of people, they think that outreach means just reaching out to people, send them a message, and then you would hope that they would be wanting to do a business. But to be honest, like that's not how it works. And I mean, that's what I used to think back in when I was starting out. But now 1 year down the line with all the experience, that's certainly not how things work. So outreach means that, you know, your consistency in terms of how much content you put out, how much efforts you put out in terms of building your brand. And after that, you know, once you've built a brand, how you're able to put yourself out in front of others, you know, the messaging that goes out and stuff. There are so many key factors that come into play that, you know, you just cannot copy paste the message. You cannot just spam people and just reach out to, let's say, 100 people a day. It is always about quality over quantity. You know, people talk about the numbers game when you talk about outreach. Reach out to 100 people, probably 10 would reply and we would get like 5 people and then we would get a client. But to be honest, that's not how it used to work like that. But the LinkedIn algorithm has completely changed. Mm-hmm. Now that you can only reach out to 50 people a day, you have to have that quality go high. It cannot be copy-pasted. you actually have to look at someone's profile, go into it and find something that's authentic in their profile, and then reach out to them with a genuine message. It has to be genuine. It has to be personalized, and it shouldn't be selling them right away. I mean, the only way you can work with someone is by solving their problem. That has to be the first priority. You shouldn't expect that you would be making the sale in the first 30 days. The first 30 days when someone is starting with outreach, my recommendation would be for them to reach out to every single people. Even if you're reaching out to 10 people a day, it's fine, but make sure it's a personalized message and make sure that you're able to solve his or her problem. I think that was what we were actually, in fact, trying to do as well. And that's what I'm doing with my existing clients too. What we are focusing on at the moment, because a lot has changed, especially in the last 2 months, LinkedIn algorithm has kept changing. So one of the ways that we actually figured out is to be able to reach out to people and then actually give them assessments that could help them analyze where their business is. And once they have understood, okay, this is where their business is, or these are the areas where they could potentially use some help, you know, they would obviously come back to our clients and they would like to work. So rather than outreach, it makes it more of like an inbound lead. And when I was talking about being able to put out content, you know, people just really neglect the LinkedIn content aspect of things. But LinkedIn, with the new, you know, sort of like community guidelines, they've clearly stated that they're only promoting accounts that are posting consistent content. So that's one of the biggest thing. And that's exactly what I've started. So you need to focus on, you know, sharing posts that can solve problem. That is one of the biggest things. And once you have them, you can start reaching out to people. And obviously people would come back to your profile. They would check, okay, what you're about, the stuff that you've posted. So these things really come into play. And that's how you reach out to people. I mean, there's also one more factor that comes into play, is that you always have to make sure that you're able to build trust and credibility with your clients, which obviously is very hard, because if you reached out to someone, it's been less than 2 days since you're having conversation. So the way you are able to build trust is by basically, you know, having landing pages and different kind of email sequences and opt-in pages in place. These things really help you build trust, as they're able to see you when you watch your videos probably, and you know, get some free resources from you. So these things certainly help you, and putting them into different email sequences so that you can, you know, stay in touch. So the golden rule is basically, do not sell as soon as you connect. That's the problem with the LinkedIn community. They sell you on day one. That's now it works. You at least have to be there till the 10th day, at least solve one of their 5 problems, and they would definitely be open to having a conversation with you. So that's how I see it, as a like tons of strategy. This is just one of the strategies that I talked about on LinkedIn and of course Instagram too. Instagram has been becoming one of those platforms and stuff, you know, that again, which is getting crowdy. A year back, it wasn't like that. It was quite easy to get leads and clients from Instagram. Now it's very hard. And even when we reach out to our clients, we get a lot of replies, people saying that, hey, I see a lot of people reaching out to us and stuff. So that's what, you know, makes you understand that obviously the crowd on LinkedIn, obviously, you know, it's getting hard to get leads too. But again, your constant efforts in terms of how you can innovate your outreach and how you can focus on adding more value to your potential audience base, that's the only thing that could potentially help you stand out. People always think that it's the messaging. Yes, it is. But the rest of it is how you can solve someone's problem. That is obviously the biggest thing. If you can solve at least one of their 5 problems, that would be more than enough for you. What is their burning desire? What is their burning problem that they have that they're really struggling with and that they cannot solve by themselves? And you can be the only person for them. If you can do that, they're going to work with you for the rest of their life. So yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so you need to work out the pain points. So that's why, I mean, that's part of the reason why niching is really key, because you really get to know a certain audience, get to know their pain points. Well, what are your strategies for finding out the pain points?
Yeah. Again, it clearly depends upon the value that you offer, how you can offer that. I have like, you know, different sort of like, you know, worksheets and stuff like that, that we use in terms of how we can niche down different questions. And these are the things that we work out with the clients too. You know, look at it and how you can basically, so what are the areas that, so who is your audience, how you can help them, how you can basically serve them, what are the problems that you can solve? So these are some of the things that we look at basically, and how you can sort of like help them out and stuff. And yeah, that's how we are able to basically niche down the audience. So when I start out with my clients, they have like, you know, 2-3 different kind of niches, and we always test out every single niche just to see which one works the best. We kind of like do ABC split testing and stuff. We see that, and the audience that works the best, we sort of like go ahead with that. I think getting results from LinkedIn really depends upon how well you use your Sales Navigator. I think that's one of the most critical things that you need to focus on. The more niche your audience is, inside your sales navigator, the better the responses, and obviously the more connection acceptances you are going to get. The more broad the audience you have on sales navigator, harder it would be for you to actually get any kind of responses. So I think it all boils down to how you use your sales navigator or the regular LinkedIn search. You know, it depends upon how you can niche it down and reach out to people effectively. So
So I personally don't have sales navigator. That's part of the paid version, right, of LinkedIn?
Right.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So can you kind of talk us through what's involved with that, like the benefits of it?
Yeah, for sure. So with the regular LinkedIn search, you can only have minimum amount of searches, like for location or, you know, like let's say, you know, some companies and stuff. But with the sales navigator, what you can actually have is basically you can categorize based upon the schools that they probably might have went, the companies that they work at, the audience and the size of their company, their levels. For example, if they're a CEO or they're just starting out in a company or they're a manager. And then again, you know, different kind of, there are like so many other, so for example, if someone was just recently joined LinkedIn and, you know, probably if you would like to reach out to them. So that's one of the strategies we go after. You can just specifically reach out to people who have recently joined LinkedIn, because chances are that they might have not been pitched by someone. So if you pitch them the first time, you can have the, you know, the chance to actually work with them. So those are like, yeah, some of the things that Sales Navigator is pretty good at. And even the audience that you get from Sales Navigator is pretty awesome. And yeah, it certainly helps you in a lot of ways, that they're like different search criteria that are in there that you can use to refine your audience. And then they obviously talk about keeping your length of the audience less than 100. That's one of the things that you can do, is that, you know, when you have like, let's say 100 niched people, it's better to reach out to them rather than having like 1,000 random people. So, you know, if you have just 100 people, it's good. You know, you can reach out to them one at a time, let's say 10 people a day over the next 10 days. You surely are going to get at least one or two clients out of it. Again, depends upon how well your messaging is and if you're able to solve at least one of their problems.
So you're saying in general for LinkedIn, you should keep it down to 100 people, or in Sales Navigator, you can just focus on 100 people?
Specifically Sales Navigator, because I think it gets, with the regular LinkedIn search, you cannot niche it that down. But with Sales Navigator, you can do that. So it certainly gives you that option. So anything that is like, let's say the mark of 9,500, that's perfect. And you should reach out to them. So.
Obviously, yeah, it might sound. I was just going to say, but you can still work if you do have the free one. You can still do searches, just not as detailed, and you can't really, yeah, have those focus and then know who to follow up on and things like that. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can still use the regular LinkedIn search. I'm not saying it's bad. Yeah. But again, if you're someone whose audience is like very niche, you have to like, you know, have different kind of search criteria come into play, then I would recommend going for Sales Navigator. Personally, for me, I do have Sales Navigator, but I actually don't need Sales Navigator. For me, the regular LinkedIn search is enough for the type of audience that I work with. But for my clients, again, with my clients, there are some of my clients have Sales Navigator, some of them don't, because again, it just depends upon the type of audience that they want to work with. So
yeah, it's not compulsory, but it does have its benefits for sure.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more about the process. So what kind of messaging then, not salesy, do you do for that first message? Because you're saying like you'll kind of encourage them to fill out a form or something to find their pain points to see how you can help each other. So what kind of messaging do you use for the very first message?
Right. Awesome. So basically, this is how the process works. So for example, if you find your ideal audience, the first thing that you would do is go to his or her account. You go through that. You see, for example, if they've posted something. So the process would look like, you know, you would first endorse a few of their skills. That's number one. Second is that you would go through their activity section, see if they've posted anything in their, you know, posts or in their article section. If they have, you engage with them. You just read a little bit about them in their about section. And once you have done that, and if they have a website, obviously you would like to check their website too. So once you've done all of that stuff, which is obviously going to take at least 5 minutes of your time, and that's why I said quality over quantity. And once you have done that, once you have understood, we basically have like a format that we go after. So you would say something like, name, I came across your account and I love the stuff that you're doing. I specifically love when you're going to talk about what was the specific thing that stood out, because the first thing that someone would think, okay, why is this guy even connecting with me in the first place? So you should give him or her the reason of why you're wanting to connect with them, because that why is something that a lot of people miss. And I focus on that why. So you got to tell them why you are connecting with them. And that has to be a very good reason. Okay, you loved maybe this specific post or this article, or you might have read something really cool in the featured section and wanted to connect. So you got to have to talk about that. And once you have talked about it, obviously you are the one who stood out, because only 1 out of 100 people that reach out to someone personalize their message. So once you have customized and personalized your message, it really helps you stand out amongst those 100 people. And I'm not saying that you will be accepted all the time, but since the time we have started personalizing our messages, what I've seen is that my clients have seen almost a 23% growth in their acceptance rate, which is again pretty awesome. Even though we are just reaching out to 50 people a day, which is obviously a less number, we're still getting more acceptance of the fact that we have personalized the messaging. So that's what you need to focus on. You have to talk about why you're connecting with someone, because once you've given them the reason, it would make them feel comfortable to connect. Again, you shouldn't be selling, as I mentioned right off the gate, but build some sort of connection with them. Ask them a couple of questions to understand them. If they say something like, okay, they have this ABC issues, then you can obviously ask them, hey, if you would be open to having a conversation, I can, you know, have, you know, talk about the problems that you have. I would love to assist and see if I can give you some ideas on how maybe I can help. You know, I'm going to make sure it's a no sales, yes, you know, pitch. Obviously, I want to make that sure. But yeah, that's one of the things that I would, and this is the exact process that basically I personally go after for my LinkedIn too. That certainly helps me get leads.
And can I ask as well, because you said before, look at their activity. Do you also look at their activity? Because if, I guess there are people who have set up a profile, they've never done anything on it and may never check it. So do you only reach out to those who have recently posted something, shared an article, something like that? Is that kind of one of your
exactly.
rules?
Yeah. Exactly. That's one of the biggest rules. Actually, that's like one of the factors. That's how I niche down my audience too. So earlier, basically, I was just reaching out to every single coach. Then I understood that, you know, probably this is not the audience that I'm wanting to work with. I'm more willing to work with those people who have posted something in their profile, you know, have some activity going on. They post at least one post a week on LinkedIn, because those are my people. I believe, you know, I can serve them because they're posting, they're engaging with people, they're active on LinkedIn. And those are the people who have more chances of actually getting leads and clients from LinkedIn. The one who are like really inactive, don't post anything, do not have their profile in place, they're not the one who would probably get the leads, and that would be a waste of time for me and them too. So I do not focus on those sort of, you know, clients. But yeah, as you mentioned, yes, I really want to make sure that they have something going in their activity section before. But if they do not have anything, I would probably just skip them out and move on to someone else.
Yeah, and the fact that you comment on something they've shared or something in their profile. Look, I've had that happen to me before. Once or twice it's happened to me, and it really stood out because they said, I'm totally impressed with your profile, especially XYZ. Oh, I really like the article you shared, blah, blah. And it just makes you go, it's a nice little compliment that they're paying attention. And then you are more open to have a conversation with them because they've made the effort to look into your profile. And yeah, so I've said that in my webinars and things before, when you're personalizing messages, if you can, just give them a nice little compliment based on what you've seen. It's always works well. So you basically, so you start a conversation with them. I liked this. Would you say something like, I've been working with other people in your field who have had X problems? Are you open to a free chat? Or is that too salesy?
No, that's like awesome. Yeah, that's like one of the ways on how you can build trust and credibility. That could be like another approach that we can go about. But yeah, you can certainly say that I've worked with, you know, people from this industry and served them in these ways. And these are the problems that I solved. You can certainly talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And so then the follow-up process, so you were saying there's email sequences and all that kind of stuff. How does that all fit in? So you have to obviously get their email address at some point, and then, what's the next step?
Yeah, so there are like two ways on how we do basically follow-ups with our prospects. They're like two different kind of people. Obviously, the ones who have never responded, you can obviously come across these people. And the ones who have like responded, they kind of like showed interest and they hosted on you. So this is like obviously two different kind of people. So for the first set, obviously you continue following up with them on LinkedIn. But the golden rule of thumb when you follow up is that you only send one follow-up in every 4 to 5 days. What people tend to do is they send follow-up in every 24 hours, or maybe let's say 2 days. That is spamming people. If you're sending follow-up every other day, people might not be even using their LinkedIn that much and they won't be replying. So that's one of the things that you want to make sure is that you don't send follow-ups every day. You send one follow-up once in like 4 or 5 days. That's number one. And if you've gotten their emails, let's say if they are in your email sequence, you want to put them in like different kind of drip campaigns. You know, want to share. And again, one of the problems with drip campaigns is that people just keep talking about their case studies, which I'm not saying is bad. But as I keep saying, if you can solve their problem, that's the biggest thing. They do not care your case. They would, but they do not care their case studies or your successful stories. Now, all they care is how you can solve their specific problem. They don't care how many problems you have solved for someone else. So with your drip campaign emails that you're doing or with the follow-ups, if you can share something on how you can solve their problem rather than talking about how you solved someone else's, that is something that will help you stand out. And that's something that obviously I focus on too. You know, if you can just specifically focus on, okay, so you talked about you have this, this, and this. This is how I would rather go after, you know, your problem. So I would do ABC things to solve my XYZ problems. So that has to be the approach. And if you're able, even with your follow-ups that you're doing, even if it's your email, if it's a follow-up on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever the follow-up that you're doing, if you have the ability to do that, again, it's all of this will take time because you're personalizing for every single one. And that's why I said it's good enough if you reach out to just 10 people a day. And that's fine because this will, again, give you enough time to do good follow-ups with all these people, personalized follow-ups. So yeah, that's how you need to go after.
Yes. And then you obviously need a good CRM system or something to keep on track of who you reach out to.
You need to have your CRM integrated with your LinkedIn. So it's important. Yeah.
Okay. And Instagram, is it similar, different approach?
Yeah, but Instagram, to be honest, it's a complete different game. To be successful with Instagram, people just think that it's again messaging, but it's not. You have to have your Instagram profile like a super, I wouldn't say like a very super branded, but again, you have to have content going on. You have to have your stories going out. You should be able to share your life and at least, you know, sharing one post a day. That's like the minimum with LinkedIn. With LinkedIn, you can, let's say, maybe share one post a day. With Instagram, it has to be one a day for sure. Then again, you should be sharing content on, you know, in the stories and stuff like that. It needs to look good. You need to have a clear message in your Instagram bio about what you do. Once you have these things in place, you can start reaching out. So I'm going to talk about my Instagram experience with some of my clients that I did. So I work with clients who never had their Instagram profile in place. And I also work with clients who had their, you know, Instagram in the best way possible. And what I could see basically working with both the clients that and work with the clients who have had their LinkedIn, Instagram in place, they were able to get results in less than 30 days. The ones who didn't have anything couldn't get results even in the 90 days or the 3 months of, you know, contract working together. And once I understood that, okay, this is what is happening, I stopped working with those people who don't have or don't put any energy into posting out their content on Instagram and just started focusing on ones who, you know, are consistent with their content. And if you have stuff going on your Instagram, if you're able to share value, Instagram is the platform for you. And if you know that your audience is, and especially, for example, spiritual coaches, my experience working with spiritual coaches is amazing because obviously their audience is on Instagram. I have worked with some amazing spiritual coaches. We've just purely focused on Instagram. They had their accounts in place. We did reach out to them and they were able to get results in what, the first 10 and 15 days. So I basically, you know, was pretty surprised in terms of how it happened. And as I mentioned, it's always outreach is always about the combination of two, that is your content and then your messaging. And obviously, the rules are same. The message needs to be personalized. The only thing that comes into play with Instagram is the messages needs to be shorter because obviously, if it's Instagram, people would probably reading it on their phone. So you have to make sure that it's not that long because people would then don't even feel like reading them. So it needs to be very short. Even the follow-up needs to be short. That's what you have to focus on. And if your content is in place, you can reach out to people and directly ask them if they would be open to having, you know, a call with you. That's kind of like the approach that I did. I never put in like sort of like in the personalized sort of energy into Instagram that is like, you know, helping them solve their problems or anything. My approach was more like, you know, hey, you know, I do this, this, and this. You know, if you're going through this problem, you know, I would love to be able to serve you in these ways. And that's the approach that worked pretty successfully. Again, the only reason is because my clients had content going on. They had a brand, obviously, even before we started any kind of outreach. So that's kind of like how it, you know, sort of works with Instagram.
That makes sense, though, because you're not going to say yes to working with someone if they've randomly reached out and they've got, you know, they go then go to their profile and there's no, like, two pictures there or five pictures there or something. It kind of like, oh, you've just come on just to then sell to me. It is kind of like you need to be posting first and giving back before you can then do that outreach. So I guess that does make sense. And same with LinkedIn, the same thing. You've got to be giving lots of value before you then reach out to people because they will want to go check you out. And if you don't have much to actually give, it's like, well, you're trying to take from me, but you're not giving anything first. And so with Instagram, there's no equivalent to Sales Navigator, is there?
No, there's nothing. It's just so basically we have three ways on how we find out Instagram, the audience on Instagram. So one is the regular Instagram search, of course, that's one. Two is that, you can find out if you have any competitors on Instagram, you can go to their followers. You can actually start reaching out to them if any of them falls under your ideal audience category. And the third is that people who are engaging with your competitors, that is liking or commenting on their stuff, those are the people who would be obviously most interested in what you have to offer, right? So these are the three ways on how we sort of like find out audience on Instagram for our clients.
Obviously, your messaging wouldn't be anything like, oh, I saw you following that person, come follow me instead. It would just be you just use that data going, I know they're interested in what I do because they're following them and we do similar things. So you just keep that information to yourself. Right. Just make that clear for anyone so they're not.
You have to make sure that. So there's like one small tip that I would like to share. I do something called a 3-2-1 strategy on Instagram. Seems like it works pretty well for me. That is liking three pictures, commenting on two, and that is follow. That is that I call it as like a 3-2-1 strategy. The reason why you want to do it is because once you have basically engaged with someone and then reached out to someone, Instagram would know that, okay, this person might know this person, and the message that you send out, it's going to probably go into their inbox rather than the spam box. If you just click the three dots, send a message without following, liking or commenting, definitely it's going to go into their spam box. You haven't done any kind of engagement. Instagram will never allow that message to go. So I'm not going to say that every time it's going to go into the inbox. But with my clients, I've seen 40%, 40% of the messages obviously go into the spam box, into the regular inbox. And obviously rest go into the spam box. That is how just the Instagram algorithm works. But again, it's way better than nothing. So 3-2-1 strategy is what I go after, and it helps pretty well.
Awesome. All right. So we've covered LinkedIn and Instagram. So Facebook, I know it works a little bit differently. Can you do outreach on Facebook effectively?
We haven't, I haven't started anything with Facebook. I have had, I know my clients, they do some sort of Facebook stuff on their site. One of the things that my clients basically do is they have Facebook communities, different kind of Facebook groups. When we reach out to people on Instagram and LinkedIn, if someone says that, okay, no, I'm working with a coach, probably this is not the right time. One of the things that we actually do is we send them that link to the Facebook group. We ask them, okay, we have this amazing group going on. We talk about, these things. We talk about, ABC values. Would you be open to joining? So obviously we have people end up joining the group. Even they say no, they end up joining the Facebook group. At least that is one of the strategies we do so that we can have this community built up. And then, my clients, they do, maybe weekly live events like Facebook lives or different kind of Zoom live events. And then if let's say they have 30 or 40 people every event, they're still able to get 3 or 4 potential prospects on their one-on-one session. So, sales session, which is again amazing. They said no, but they engaged in the group. They saw, so many people are in there. My clients make sure that they share so much of content every single day in the groups. They do different kind of live events, but this is again, pretty amazing strategy. If they're saying no, because no doesn't mean no, it means not now. So you can obviously put in your energy in terms of nurturing those leads. And that's how you basically do it. If you do not have email systems or any of those stuff in place, you're not tech savvy, you do not want to do that, I would say have a Facebook group, and that's how you can nurture your leads. So yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Ultimately, it all comes down to relationships, right? So
exactly.
You've got to build, and we've had an episode before about that, relationship selling. It's just building those connections first. I absolutely hate it. And I have mentioned in the past how much I hate those random salesy messages on LinkedIn. They barely said hello and they're already trying to sell me. And I'm like, no, you have no idea who I am. Like, it's who are you? So I just unfollow straight away. So these techniques, this kind of gets people in your world. And yeah, like you were saying before, it can take time, but there's people who, yeah, I've been hanging out with on and off, online, offline, and maybe only now they're going, I'm ready for you to do website copy for me. And it's like, right. We first started conversations a year ago. And that wasn't active conversations like you're promoting, which I think is probably way better. I could probably speed up the process. but yeah, it just shows if you can just keep on top of those leads and make this a real key part of your marketing strategy, it could work really well for you. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point, to be honest, because I have seen people. So let's say if someone said, no, I'm not interested. People, these marketers, they're like, yeah, they just start talking shit, to be honest. They're like, they get so bummed. They're like, you know, okay, you're going to miss out on this or stuff like that. To be honest, like, that's not how it should. If they're saying no, you got to have to respect them. You need to back off. But you can ask them, okay, would you like to maybe circle me back with you and see if there's any time that maybe. So that has to be the way. And I gotten so many clients just with, they said no, but I asked them, okay, if I can follow up with you in like a few months time. They say, okay, maybe like follow up with me in the 4 months time. I make a follow up. They're like, okay, cool. I think this is a good time. Let's chat. So you should not get frustrated. You should not get bummed. You just like keep sending messages. If they're not responding, please stop. Wait for like a month or two and then you can make a follow up again. That's how things should work. You just should not keep texting them and messaging them or emailing them all the time. That's not how things work.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. It's been on the receiving end. And exactly. I actually learned this little tip the other day was like, yeah, don't leave a meeting before booking another meeting. So it may not be a, hey, I'll call you on the 30th of June or something like that, but it could be, do you mind if I give you a call back in a couple of weeks' time or exactly. in 2 months' time if you're not quite ready now? And so exactly. at least they're expecting it. You're going to, yeah, not leave it just open, become a dead end. It's, yeah, and then you leave that message for yourself in your calendar and your CRM, and then you follow up with them. And right. it shouldn't be out of the blue because you're like, oh, well, when we previously chatted, you said it was okay for me to check in, say, how's things going? And you start the conversation again.
exactly.
Yes, this has all been really great, actually, because I've only done a little bit of outreach. I haven't done heaps. So I personally want to outreach to website designers, kind of as copywriters. Copywriting and website designers can work really well together. So that's right. something I want to like look at doing and know that we'll just get the job done a lot quicker. exactly. But yeah, so thank you for all this. And I always ask my guests this, Mohit, and it's, how do you take care of your health and wellness?
That's the question that I would love to answering. So I'm going to talk about a Mohit that was there 8 months ago, who was like, you know, fat, was just eating all day and not exercising, was not focused on diet or his health at all. So that was the Mohit. And then I have a high idol. So he's my basically, you know, idol for everything. And this guy is Virat Kohli. I'm not sure if you know him. He's like the favorite guy. Like if you watch cricket, you would certainly know him because there's like a lot that happens between Aussie team and him. So it's just amazing. So he's my idol and he's like, you know, so about health and stuff. So I watched one of his videos and then I was like, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was so disappointed with the kind of like my physique and, you know, who I was. And obviously I knew I was making money. I thought that, okay, the business is growing and stuff. So all is well. But when I understood my health was going down, that was the point it hit me. Next day onwards, I changed everything. I changed my lifestyle, started working out like, you know, at least hour a day. And then after that, taking good diet, I gave up on all the bad junk food that I was eating, like chips and all, and especially the sugary items. I just gave up on. I think I haven't like had sugar in like what, 5 months now, I believe. So I just like gave up on everything. Obviously learned some basic health stuff from, you know, some obviously health coaches and stuff. And then after that, I think it's been 8 months now, and I've lost, I believe, 6 kgs, to be honest. And like, I haven't even joined gym, but I work out every single day. I've got a very good workout routine. And then after that, I make sure that I do something called intermittent fasting as well, like 14 hours fasting every day where I do not consume any sort of food apart from water. and fruit juices. And then after that, you know, I'm taking care of my mental health too. I'm making sure that I'm only putting in good, you know, diet. I have had cheat days too, but if I had them, I want to make sure that I do something so that I can get rid of the fat that I, or the calories that I just consumed because of that cheat day. So yeah, I've got a very balanced sort of like diet. And then again, with the exercise all together, and I do, you know, different kind of yogas as well, and a bit of meditation added to it. So I can take care of my mental health too, because it's really crucial in these pandemic times, because my mental health wasn't in order like, you know, a month ago. So I told myself that meditation is required. And since then, it's been really good. And then again, overall, my physique has certainly improved, and I'm able to put in more energy into work as well. And I love doing workout. Like, a guy who wasn't like doing any kind of workout is like now obsessed with, I'm not saying obsessed, but again, I love doing workouts. I just want to look, be the best version of myself when it comes down to health. So I'm really glad that I could have that change. So yeah, it's been an amazing transformation, to be honest, from that. And like, everyone, you know, look at me now. This, is it Mohit? Like, you were like the chubby guy. What happened to you now? You look amazing. So that whenever they say something like that, I would, yeah, it took in a lot of time and energy, but I'm glad that I could finally be here. And again, it makes you feel good when you're like, you know, like lean, and like, you know, you've got like a decent physique. It's not about the looks, but it's about the mental energy that you can put in.
Yes, 100%. And especially during all the like the pandemic, how like crazy it's been. Oh, I mean, a lot of people go to comfort eating and things like that and eat more. So it's actually been, more kudos to you that you have managed to maintain your health and your mental health too, physical and mental. That's just amazing. So you should be proud. And how can people connect with you?
Sure. So you can connect with me at oneheart.co.in. That's the website. If you want to reach out to me directly, my email is hey@oneheart.co.in. So that's all. And obviously you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Mohit KS. And if you would like to connect with my sister, with my partner, Sonali M is her name. And you can obviously type in, you can reach out to her too. So yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's been a really great chat today. So thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. Brain more later. Thank you to your listener for tuning in. You can find show notes of the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com.au. ratethispodcast.com/marketingme. So I got distracted. My headphones are coming off. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show, or book in a free 15-minute chat. I'd absolutely love to help you and see how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.